why show up?
Because it's give away a lot of money for 20th.
Here we go. Money talk. Here comes the money.
Morning, evening, and afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Ben. Is this like episode 11? I think episode 11 plugged in.
I would have introduced it as the first winning episode of Plugged In, but maybe 11. Who knows?
Ben, how happy did you wake up on Monday morning after 3 out of 4 bets all hit? Outrageous week.
It's just nice to get one, you know? I knew we were digging that hole. It was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Something was going to give, and eventually the trifecta landed at the players, and now we're 30% in the green. So people, come and join the train. We're not stopping now.
Plus 432 billies, we think, so far year to date. Like, and the worst thing is the last 3 weeks, I think I've broken even every week. I've hit a big place or whatever, and I've been like, oh, this is good now. I'll try and get ahead. I'll catch up. I'll hit a winner at some stage. And all of a sudden, you guys have a mammoth week like this. And now I really am chasing my tail. So, you know what it makes, a few weeks ahead.
I do feel like a degenerate gambler, because obviously for the players, we doubled our stake to 200 billies. For the players in the majors, that's what we're going to do. And for the first time ever, I've doubled our stake and it's finally paid off. And now I just feel like, let's just double our stake every week. You know, let's just get all our winnings and stick it all on Scotty Scheffler, because he's never going to lose again. This is what the winner's rush feels like.
Well, the thing is, Scotty Scheffler might never lose again. He won the Players' Championship, taking home $8.5 million in the space of 2 weeks after the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I can't believe what we're seeing out of Scotty. Like, I think this day, 2 weeks ago, I declared that Scotty's never going to win with that putter. And then he goes and wins twice in 2 weeks. And like honestly, he could win 6 majors this year. I'm a little bit concerned here.
It's ridiculous that he won this week, considering he had a bad neck and he didn't really seem in it. And like, he kind of shot an okay Sunday, but like, obviously his Sunday was very good. It never felt like he got going. He basically won that at a canter. I think like I and anyone that I was texting, like Scott during the event, was like, it's going to come to a playoff and he'll probably win in the playoff. But like, at least when it comes into playoff, you feel like he didn't play that well, but it really feels like he kind of fell over the line slightly and won it, like, without even trying too hard. But amazing. Yeah.
Let's jump into some heavy topics, all right? Everybody is starting to compare Scottie to being the best player since Tiger. Do you think that's justified, or are you like, okay, guys, let's slow down a little bit here?
I think we can definitely slow down a little bit. I said on the last pod that I think...
So happy you said that.
You get these phases. We had it with John Rahm maybe a year, 18 months ago, where it looked like he was never going to lose. Like I said, Victor towards the FedEx Cups last year, he looked so good. Okay, Scotty's run he's on at the moment is better than those two runs. But I think people forget about how good Tiger was. So look, he's getting there, but he's still nowhere near for me personally.
Yeah, like, hey, if Scotty comes and wins another 3 times, 4 times this season, including the major, hands up, like, God, we are seeing something absolutely special here. But, like, the ball striking is off the charts. Everybody knows that. But we need to see more wins. I know this is 2 massive wins within 2 weeks, but, God, we are pouring cold water.
Well, just like, on the other side, it's... How often do you see back-to-back winners? Not very, especially from an elevated event on a difficult course like the Arnold Palmer, then into the Players where he's gone back-to-back, the only player to ever defend himself. He managed to shake off the early late hangover that has been on the Players that we talked about so much on the last pod. He's just breaking records everywhere he goes. Amazing. I can't remember the last time I saw... So obviously him and Wyndham were 1 and 2 in the Arnold Palmer. They were also 1 and 2 in the Players. Don't know if that happens very often, but Wyndham Clark's playing some unbelievable golf at the moment. But you'd be fairly pissed off if you were playing such good golf like that and you came up against Scotty Scheffler in this sort of form.
Did you see Larry's comments last week just saying, like, there's actually nothing we can do. Like, we just have to stand back and just admire how good Scotty is playing.
And just laugh at him, the fact that he falls over on his tee shots. Like, that's, that blows my mind.
I love when Shannon gets on, and that's all he can admire about Scotty's game is how he hits the center of the face every single time. Ben, listen, you mentioned there, like, we had Xander, Harmon, and Clark. If Scotty finishes one shot less, we have a four-way playoff. Any in particular player here, Brian Harmon, Xander, or Clark, stand out to you? You mentioned Wyndham already.
Only because there were six of us in a WhatsApp group who had a bit of a side bet, and I was leading the whole way, and I had Xander, only for me to get flipped by Scott, who had Wyndham. So Xander's going into my black book of never getting picked again for that draft. But yeah, big up the players for just giving us a good finish. We've had two back-to-back. Okay, Scotty ran away with the week before, but we've had the big players are showing up. It was entertaining. I found myself kind of dipping in and out like I would in a major. I'd see some early morning coverage with McGinley and Brandle, which I thought was pretty good. Then I'd turn it on and get a bit of back nine coverage, and I just dip in and out, and it was perfect. There was lots of good golf going on. So big up the players for producing best tournament I can remember watching in a long time.
That piece between McGinley and Brandle was so bloody. It was like a political debate going on between Biden and Trump. It was like two, I won't say the tune is Saturday morning, and two of them going on about the golf ball rollback debate, And like, they were nearly at loggerheads with each other to start up, put on boxing gloves and start going at it. Like, it was incredible.
I wouldn't be a huge fan of either of them, but I appreciate some proper debate rather than, I feel like on American TV, you often just get like two lads agreeing on the same point. But actually it was good. It was entertaining.
Yeah. I think we'd be amiss without mentioning who finished in fifth place last week. It was Matt Fitzpatrick, who I believe led the field in strokes gained off the tee. But I think the big thing to come out last week was Matt Fitzpatrick, one of the most detailed, articulate, any other words, analytical. In the world of golf. Analytical comes out and he says, oh yeah, last February we put in weights into my driver and I forgot they were there and I never took them out, and that's why I've been driving it like shit for the last 12 months. Like, how does this happen? Like, especially for Matt Fitzpatrick, top 10 player potentially in the world at some stage.
It makes you think about I know we don't repeat our swing the way Matt Fitzpatrick does, but like, I play with the driver off the rack, never got fitted for it. I'd say a lot of golfers do. It's becoming more common to get yourself fitted for all your clubs, but it does make a difference. These little weights, these little things, like, I know some people who are using drivers they've had since 2002. So it makes you just think, how bad are we? Imagine what, like, the difference it makes to Matt Fitz, a couple of grams of weight. But yeah, I don't know how he let that. He must be so pissed off, like, that he hadn't figured that out.
A year of his life, literally, it feels like it was genuinely wasted. Like, hasn't won since 2022 US Open. Oh, I won the Alfred Dunhill Links, then you won the RBC. Yeah, but anyways, it just feels like a waste of a year. God, I'm mashing with someone else. Very good. Ben, listen, we'll move on here quickly from the players because we're going to get through this. Big storylines this week. We are always trying to bring out the breaking news. John Rahm has released his menu for the 2024 Masters Champion Dinner. Do you have it there off the top of your head? Because I don't have it open here.
I don't, but I saw a big Basque Spanish influence. Looked pretty good. I did see Michael Kim tweeting that apparently whoever is the champion hosting the dinner covers the costs of the meal, which I thought was interesting for Augusta, who like must turn over so much profit each year. But I guess it's a good way to keep them like from going all expense or like all out, getting caviar and all sorts. I thought that was an interesting touch.
Yeah.
Can't confirm if that's true or not, but.
He said he couldn't confirm if it was true or not. He started saying, he started getting a lot of traction. He's like, shit, I better not be doing this. But then Kevin Van Valkenburg from No Lay Enough tweeted back at him saying, yeah, that is true. Which is, like, Augusta is someone who prides themselves on having this spectacular reputation of, and then they're making the winner
pay for the dinner, which I think is crazy. But like, so I'm just looking here. There's some tapas for starters. There's like Mama Ram's classic lentil stew. There's some cheese, potatoes, omelet. But the starters don't look great. Main course is Basque ribeye or turbot. So, okay, let's have a 10-second conversation here. Are you in or out on tapas?
I like tapas. I like it done well, though. I like tapas in Spain. I'm not a big fan of tapas in London. Like, it's just, yeah. But I'm like,
yeah.
My girlfriend is Greek, so it's very much from that sharing kind of culture. So I mean, it's just, that's how I like to eat my food. Share it with everyone. You don't sound like you're the same.
No, I genuinely love tapas. I don't like the look of this one, though. I'm not a big fan of this. Hold on, sorry. Just never mention. Imagine this scene of everybody in the champions dinner and like who's sharing with Phil Mickelson, who's sharing with Patrick Reed. You have Angel Cabrera there, who's, oh, like, do you want a piece of ham, Angel? Oh, by the way, how's your whatever? You got arrested for a goal. Welcome home. That would just be a mad, mad situation to find yourself in. But yeah, Ben, listen, we'll keep this moving. Do you have any other big storylines from the last week?
Mark, I have zero storylines apart from the fact that we had a 280% return on our bets. We landed our hole-in-one in the first round at 10-1, 20-1. We landed Wyndham Clark each way. We landed 100 billies on Scotty Scheffler. So as much as I hated backing Scheffler at 6-1, it paid off. I'm ready to keep the train rolling into these next two events. I've done some very vague research into who I'm backing, but it's mostly vibes. And I think we're going to have two European winners on either tour this week.
Beautiful. Well, let's get stuck into it. Any particular tour that you want to start on, Ben?
I've actually switched it up and I've got two picks on the PGA Tour this week. And I've got one on the DP World Tour. So you fire us off, fire ahead.
Let's go to PGA Tour. Like I mentioned to you before this, Ben, I've had a bit of a nightmare all evening. I was hoping to get down and get my research all done and end up, I'm going skiing next week. I lost my passport, so I've been running around the house here sweating. But I've managed to get some picks for PGA Tour, none for the DP World Tour. And the PGA Tour is going to Valspar Championship down at Innisbrook Resort, 7,340 yards, par 71. I'm going for approach players and around the green game players this week. So in 2022, three of the top four finishers in the final leaderboard were the three best strokes gained approach golfers for the week. And here's an interesting stat that I never knew. So this is obviously the home of the Snake Pit. No Valspar winner has ever played the Snake Pit at better than even par. Three hole stretch.
I don't remember much about the Valspar apart from that they use paint pots as their tee markers, but it seems like a pretty strong field. Is it an elevated event? Or it's just
not an elevated event this week, just a standard event.
Oh, interesting.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Okay, hit me with your picks.
Do you want to leave us off there with your PGA Tour picks?
Sure. So number one, I am going for the Iceman. I feel like I've backed him a couple of times. He's at 150-1. It just stood out to me. Probably recency bias, because I went back and I look at his last couple of results and they're not great. But he did have a T2 in Mexico. He missed the cut in the Cognizant, missed the cut in the Arnold Palmer, which I wouldn't blame him for. It was a difficult course. And then he was T54 this week in the Players. I think he's probably playing too much golf on the PGA Tour because he feels like he only has a limited number of starts because he got one from the DP World last year. But at 151, I've got Sammy Valamaki. And how much am I going to put on
him? Oh, I love that. I love that a lot.
I'm going to put 15 billies each way on Sammy Valamaki at 150-1.
Lovely. Okay. And you have one more on the PGA Tour?
I have one more. Again, this guy seems to just be popping up on my Instagram or Twitter feed, probably because I follow him. That's why. But I like the cut of his jib. Seems like a bit of a cool dude. He's also at 150-1. He's gone cut, T10 in Puerto Rico, which is a good finish. And then T26 in the Players, showing a bit of form. Matty Schmid at 150-1. I'm going to put 15 billies each way on Matty Schmid.
So you messaged him before this saying, I'm going for pure vibes. And then you're seeing this guy on your Twitter and your Instagram. You're saying you're like, pure we should vibes. Just quote this for next week when he wins. You said you like the look of his jib, which is always, he's leading in strokes gained jib this week. Always a good indicator of how things are going to go.
He's,
but
he's pa- I like look, those he two pass, picks. He passes the eye test.
I like those two picks a lot. Okay, I'll give you my picks here for the PGA Tour because they're all on the PGA Tour this week. Number one, I'm going with the Bulldog, Brian Harman, 40 billies to win at 18 to 1. Listen, I'm slightly concerned about the fact that he's missed five out of his last six cuts here, but he finished tied for fifth here in 2019. He's a better player now with T12 the Aaron and Palmer, T2 of the players in his last two starts. Great around the green, looking for his fourth PGA Tour win. Ben, do you know what age Brian Harman is? Do you think he's over or under 40?
He looks over, but I'm going to say he's under. He's about 34.
Wow. 37?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I was shocked. But, yeah, I think Brian Harman's going to come out barking this week. I'm looking forward to hunting down some leaders. I can't wait. This was actually sent in by Dermot McCabe to me. He messaged me earlier saying, Mark, can you look me up? Doug Gimme Moore on datagolf.com. So I'm going for him. 20 billies each way at 40 to 1. He's a sixth best approach player over the last 20 rounds in this field. He's now recorded five consecutive top fives and only lost strokes putting and around the green once. That's why I'm going Dougie Gim at 40 to 1, 20 billies each way. Really finding under the radar this week.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I've three more outsiders here. To be honest, Jimmy could have been an outsider as well. But Victor Perez, 15 billies each way at 66 to 1. He's gone tied 16th, tied 3rd in his last two starts, gaining strokes and approach in seven consecutive tournaments, and finished tied for 45th here in 2023, which is not to shout home about, but I just like the fact that he's played here before. Ben, did you listen to the No Laying Up podcast on Sunday after the round?
I don't think so. Should I have?
So, I loved it. I'm a big fanboy there. So, second best podcast I've ever plugged in. But they had Joel Damon ringing in, and I'm putting 15 billies each way on him at 66 to 1. He was second in strokes gained approach on Sunday last week, third around the green for the tournament. I'm a little bit concerned about the putter, but he mentioned that he has never felt better hitting the ball than he is right now. He, like, when Netflix documentary in season two is about him, and it's around a year ago when he wasn't playing that well, and he said that since August he feels like his game is in a much better place now. So that's why I'm going Joel Damon, 15 billies each way, similar to yours, a little bit of vibes there.
Yeah, I like that.
And then my last one here, sorry, I think this is like the biggest missed price I've ever seen. Andrew Novak, 10 billies each way at 100 to 1. He missed a couple of the players, so I can kind of understand that. But he's had three top 10s in consecutive starts before that. I just really, really like Andrew Novak this week. I think he's been playing well. He's contending at the two tournaments called the Cognizant.
Yeah.
And he finished tied for 8th at Mexico, tied for 8th at Phoenix Open. I just think 100 to 1 is a crazy, crazy price.
Cool. Is that all your bets in?
That's all my bets in. Five bets.
I found an extra 10 billies while I was doing my maths there. So I was doing a bit of scrolling, and I can't remember if Shani likes Kevin Yu or Brendan Wu. Do you remember which one he hits a bit further? I think it might be Brendan Wu. No, Dylan Wu. So I'm not even going to look him up. So just for a few vibes, I'm going to put 10 on or 5 each way on Dylan Wu at 125 to 1. Because I think
it's
the ball far. I've got one bet over on the European Tour, the DP World Tour, the Singapore Classic. A few bits I picked up. Paul Casey is playing for some reason, and he's 10 to 1. Thought that was a bit strange, although he did have a T2 last time out in LIV. Shane Lowry and Matthew Pavon. I'm surprised he didn't pique your interest, as he normally does.
He did, but the price is too short.
Just, again, weird that the two of them are going from the players to playing in Singapore. Whoever sponsors Singapore must have some good pull to get them in.
Same person that sponsors Taylor Swift coming over to play her concert.
And the defending champion, I would like to see. So the winner last year was Aki Stridham. He's 125-1, and I'm always interested to see how long previous winners are. And I feel like 125-1 is pretty long for a previous winner. Although Aki did not have a good end to last year, so there are just a couple of bits I picked up. And my final pick, playing in Singapore Classic, I've picked him purely because of his surname. He has one letter away from having the same surname as me. He's gone cut T56, cut T11, and he's 150-1. My pick is Mr. Frederick Schott. No, it's not Ben Scott. It's Frederick Schott. So Freddie Schott's in there. Weirdly, all my picks are at 150-1. So I think that's a sign.
Ben, you are feeling confident, sir. What's going on? You're one massive week and we're like, oh God, this is the easiest thing in the world. I'm surprised you didn't ask for 200 billies this week.
I want to just go back Scottie Scheffler wherever he's playing this week, whether it's just like a bit of fun with his friends or practice. I'll back him to do anything because he can't lose.
I love it. So sorry, Schott, you have how many billies on?
15 each way on Freddie Schott, 150-1. Nice and simple. 100. All 150-1 picks, all 15 billies each way, and then Dylan Wu gets a little flutter.
Brandon love it. Wu. Frederick Schott, only 22 years of age, young gun coming out. I'm looking at some of his, not the best around the green game player, but hopefully you don't need that in Singapore. He hits it a long way though. I like that.
Yeah,
I love it, Ben.
Powerful German. Nice,
quick podcast.
Mark, powerful, that was a pleasure. German. Enjoy the skiing. I expect to see you dialing in from the chairlift.
I'll send in a voice message that next week, let you know. I will not check data golf once. I won't even know if my player is in the field. I'll send in two picks.
Mark, all vibes. All vibes.
You get this altitude training to me. Ben, I'll chat to you again in 2 weeks, all right?
Cheers, Mark.
Just give away a lot of money for 20th.
Here we go, money talk.
Here comes the money, money, money.